Simply perfect this year. Gifts like perfectly aged tender steaks, juicy burgers, decadent desserts, and classic comfort meals. A gourmet gift from Omaha Steaks is a gift from the heart and a gift they'll remember with every unforgettable bite. Go to omahasteaks.com now and take advantage of 50% off site-wide. Plus, use the code ESPN at checkout to get an additional $40 off your order, minimum order required. Send an assortment of mouth-watering favorites guaranteed to impress, like the butcher's cut filet mignon, the air-chilled boneless chicken, ultra-juicy burgers, hot dogs, and even easy-to-prepare comfort meals ready in a flash. Omaha Steaks is ready to ship your order right away, so shop early and beat the rush. Shop this year for friends, family, colleagues, or yourself at omahasteaks.com. Every order is backed by their unconditional money-back guarantee. Visit omahasteaks.com, get 50% off site-wide, plus use the code ESPN at checkout to get an extra $40 off your order.
The college football season is down to the wire, and Prop Swap is the best place to score this playoff season. Michigan was 50-1 odds earlier this year to win it all. Now those tickets are bursting with value ahead of their big showdown with TCU. Don't miss out, as the games will be here before you know it. You can find great deals on football and every other sport only on PropSwap, where America buys and sells sports bets. Go to PropSwap.com or download the PropSwap app today.
This is the Jay Hood, live from the Old National Bank State Street Studio.
On WMVP, WSAT HD2, Chicago.
ESPN 1000.
A Good Karma Brands radio station.
We're back. ESPN 1000, 312-332-3776 is the number. Captain Jay Hood, Hanley, and Jesse Rogers sitting in for the guys this morning. To the phones we go. Edgewater, Rob is out there. Hey, Rob, good morning.
Hey, how you guys doing today? Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, sir.
Listen, I was just calling because you were talking about the want and the Bulls not wanting to play defense. But I just think it's what the league, you know, sort of promotes. It's basically they don't have to really play defense, and it's predicated on sort of, you know, running up a score like, you know, it's a pinball game or whatever. And I'm glad they're playing defense. I think defense, I wish it would come back a little bit more in the league. I think it would make it a more interesting product to watch.
Well, go,
that's all I wanted to say.
Okay, well, I mean,
thanks, Rob.
I know, Brian, I can speak for you. I mean, I'm sorry. I don't care if you want to call us old, but I mean, the old days of the NBA with the Bulls and the way the game was played, it's just better. I don't care what anybody says. It was better. Now, maybe we can never get back to that because the athletes are that much better and 3-point shooters and all this stuff, and they're bigger, stronger. I get it. But there's no way anybody our age can tell me the game's better today than back then. Chris Bleck can love the game today. I get it. He's also 10, 15 years older, younger than us. And I'm sorry, that game back then was a combination of finesse and toughness and all the things you love about sports.
There's no Dwight Howard. I mean, there's no space eaters out there. There's no, you know, big guys who just are playing underneath the basket. I mean, you're not even allowed to anymore. There's the little arc that tells you don't be there. You won't get a charge. A defense might not win championships anymore. But, you know, when you're looking at the Bulls specifically, okay, they don't not only don't defend the three, they take the fewest threes in the league. So to Rob's point, if you're gonna, you know, if it's offense and all about point scoring, they don't take as many threes as you should on average, and they can't make them anyway. And meanwhile, your max player, again, doesn't even seem to want to play defense most nights, and he's not alone because Vooch is allergic to that as well. And I mean, again, the NBA exec said your three stars, who I thought were going to be a foundation to winning something or at least making noise in the East for years to come. And now I can't say that's accurate or true, given the way the season's going. But if your three stars are your worst three defensive players, you know, who in that locker room is going to step up and say we need to do something different if the three leaders, so-called leaders, aren't doing it?
Yeah, and it's not a defensive game in general. I get that. But even more so the reason that you should play some D, it'll stand out a little bit.
Yep.
You might win a few games. I mean, well, the alternative is giving up 150. So when you're a little shorthanded, and you said it exactly right, they're not a three-point shooting team. So you can make up for it on the other end. Stop the three or stop the easy buckets. I mean, there's games where
– or get, you know, get a transition.
The easy layups are even more so with the Bulls.
Yeah, you know, get a transition. Take the ball off the rim and go the other way. You know, I mean, and fast break points, turnover points off the turnover. I mean, they're getting – even when they limit their turnovers – the other team is converting. I mean, it's the opposition that's making that you're making some hay off the, you know, the turnovers where the Bulls aren't. So,
yeah, I think there's an opportunity to still play some good defense. The good teams do show up defensively more often than not, and certainly can make up for some warts in the other parts of their game. The Bulls haven't done that.
You know, I listened to the Bulls Talk podcast this week, as I always do, and on NBC Sports Chicago, and a great conversation. And Rob Schaefer and Jason Goff and KC and Tony Gill. And KC said something interesting. He said his opinion, you know, I don't think Zach actually came out and told him. He said that benching, Billy Donovan's benching of him in the final 4 or 5 minutes of that game, where, you know, Zach couldn't believe that he's making max money. He said he's still not over that. And that has led to a lot of the storylines this week where Zach and the organization don't see eye to eye. And KC said on the podcast that he's not over it. He hasn't forgotten about it. And he's basically, if I'm a max player, name me another max player who's not there to close out a game, even if he's 1-for-13 in said game. And you know, like it or not, it's a players' league. But Billy Donovan had seen enough, and he was trying to send a message not just to Zach, but the entire team, that if that's the effort you're going to have that night, then you'll be sitting over here by me for the final 4 or 5 minutes. I don't care how much you're being paid. And Zach is weeks later is still, you know, it's still gnawing at him and affecting things even off the court, and maybe.
Yeah, I was going to say, I can't remember if I said this to Sylvie on the air or off the air, but I have no problem saying it on the air. I don't want to say it, but there, I feel like if you want to draw some line between Zach LaVine and Jay Cutler, you could do it. You could do it. And I'm not talking about ability, obviously. I'm talking about all the other things that come with it, come with being highest paid player on the team and the leadership and all that stuff. You know what? A good percentage of stars would do if they're benched, they put that chip on their shoulder and become a better player for it or a better person for it. To hear the fact that he's not over it, I hate to hear that. I hate to hear it. It reminds me of Jay Cutler a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, you know, it's all about me and what's best for me and not, you know, not necessarily what's best for the team. And to your point about Billy Donovan, I mean, the only weapon a coach has, the only thing to hold people accountable is playing time, right? And no matter who you are. And I remember when Scott Skiles got fired on Christmas Eve Day, you know, we went to practice thinking it was just going to be a quick practice and everyone be home for the holidays. And we're in the media room, and I think it was a Channel 7 cameraman, ABC 7 cameraman came in and said, "Hey, I think I just saw Skiles walking to his car and driving away."
More like, with a box of office supplies.
Well, with a box of money, actually, because he had, and sure enough, it was true. He had been up in Jerry Reinsdorf's office with Pax, and the question was asked Scott Skiles point blank, you know, how are you going to turn this thing around, right? And it was Ben Gordon, Luol Deng, and Kirk Heinrich, and the try-hard Bulls. And Scott Skiles told us after the fact, after he got fired, his answer was, "Well, maybe I'm not going to be able to. What if I told you that?" And then the conversation immediately turned to, you know, the separation package, right? And he got a hefty payoff on the balance of his contract. But,
well, it's Christmas. Is Billy Donovan going up to, I guess, Michael Reinsdorf's office now and asked the same question?
Yeah, I mean, because really, if you can't, and if you're trying to hold your star player, the max money guy, accountable to let everyone know that no one's immune to being benched, and then you're going to have that guy pouting or you know, being ticked off for the rest of the season, you know, because I saw people write, "How dare you? You know, you just don't do that in the NBA. You can't embarrass a guy like that." I'm like, okay, what's the coach? Your coach supposed to do?
Oh, for God's sakes! There's one game, 3 minutes left. You can't. Give me a break. You can't do this. You can't do that.
Yeah.
Yes, you can.
Well, I remember when Jim Boylan did it. You know, he'd say he benched the entire starting five and take.
Well,
them
that's
all at
kind
once.
Of. Well, this goes back to Mike Donovan, Mr. Well-respected coach around the league, benches a star, and the star shows him no respect coming off of that. Like, a great coach would get the respect of his player after the fact. So, I'm not defending Max Levine, as my son likes to call him. Yeah. Max Levine or Zach Levingerd. But,
wow. But
that's my son, not me, for the record.
Yeah.
Blame Nate Rogers. But I also look at Billy Donovan. If you can't gain the respect of your player, whether you bench him or don't bench him, maybe you're not the right guy for the job.
And yet you just got extended. And
secretly.
Yeah, secret handshake. And
joke.
312-332-3776. So we can get back to that conversation. Courtney Cronin will join us in just a few. Talk Bears and Bills. And I heard her on the network earlier today when I was heading in here, and she was making a case that it could be a trap game for the Bills, and maybe the Bears have a little surprise party. I guess the question for our listeners, you know, what does this game mean? If they, you know, if they find a way to upset Buffalo, what does that mean as a fan, for the team, with a few games left here, a 7-game losing streak, lost 8 of 9, playing better, but still not getting the W's in the column. We'll talk to Courtney, and certainly a few more injuries on the offensive side of the ball, and that doesn't help Justin Fields in particular or the Bears in general.
Courtney and I have similar bosses in Bristol, right? We both work for Bristol as well. So I'm putting in a call to Bristol today because I know the people that she deals with in the TV department. And I'm telling them I want, I don't know, on the quarter hour, 4 reports out of her on the field tomorrow starting at 9 a.m. Oh. I want to see Courtney Cronin on TV for about an hour and a half leading up to that game, outside every 15 minutes live on TV. Then she will put in a day's work. Me, I'll be on the couch with the fire going.
Yeah. Vaseline on the face, Courtney. That's all I know. And cardboard in the shoes, and apparently you're good to go. Okay, go get yourself from Connie's Pizza. Take the cardboard, put in the shoes, and do those reports every 15 minutes on the hour for Jesse.
The weather guy on the Weather Channel yesterday, he was in Denver. I think he said it felt like minus 24. It's hilarious. Just sitting out there for hours on end, giving the same report, by the way. Just do one and tape it, and then rerun the thing. They kept going live to him. So, Courtney, you can do one and tape it and rerun it. But I would like to see an outdoor report. You got to feel the elements as reporters so you can report properly on the players who have to deal with those elements.
Yeah, I mean, this was, they earn their money when they're standing on the street corner for the 4 or 5 hour. And I believe ABC 7 started at 4 a.m. today because of the weather and just to keep telling people it was cold. So they tacked an extra hour on it. But
what did the famous Jim Memolo say on the air once in early April when baseball season? It's cold. Deal with it. And that was it. Remember saying, it's going to be cold till June. Deal with it.
Well, I did hear some guy in L.A. yesterday talking about, you know, when it become a what's the new terminology? It's not a blizzard. It's
I don't know. What is it? The
sonic bomb or whatever. The snow. He's like, it's a winter storm. I'm like, this guy hasn't been outside of L.A. in his lifetime. And he's like, it's 35 below with the wind chill. You know, hot shot. Why don't you come over here and deal with that? You know, well, you're shoveling mud in your front yard because of the mudslide and putting your backyard, taking the hose because the backyard's on fire.
Well, on Monday this week, they said it was like the 18 to 36 inches of snow and that it's slowly but surely got reduced. And we ended up with what, a couple, 3 maybe?
Yeah. And
it's not so bad.
Yeah, it really isn't bad at all. I mean, it is cold, so.
It was tough to drive yesterday because it was blowing. It wasn't a good driving day, but today it's looking okay out there. It's sunny. It's just cold.
There's your amateur hour. I went and did everything on Wednesday. I didn't wait till Thursday, right?
Sure.
So yesterday morning, in my neighborhood, everyone's running. I mean, it's traffic jams on the side street.
Costco's got lines out the door.
Everyone's trying. I'm like, at least Wednesday morning, I thought I'd be dealing with it. And I did to a degree, but, you know, and I usually procrastinate, but I mean Thursday I wanted nothing to do with it. I didn't want to take the car out of the garage or anything, so I went and got my booze and everything on Wednesday, so I'm good to go.
And I got my chocolate malted almond thingies that my wife got
dipped. Yeah,
triple dipped. Well, I've been eating them since.
How big a bag is that? A Costco size bag?
Yes, because it hasn't run out. She keeps filling like the thing in the table, you know, a bowl in the middle of the table, the kitchen table.
Oh, wow.
I keep emptying it, and then it's filled up 20 minutes later.
All right, Oompa Loompa. All right, Courtney Cronin will be joining us in just a minute or so here on ESPN 1000, talking Bears and Bills, and we'll get her take on the game tomorrow. Is there an upset in the offing for the Chicago Bears?
Does she have an outdoor TV report? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, we're going to see what she's doing because Jesse's got her on the sideline for like 5 hours. right after this on ESPN 1000.
This is Kaff and Jay Hood
on ESPN 1000. Kaff, Jay Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Kaff and Jay Hood off today. You got Jesse Rogers, Brian Hanley, and we're here till top of the hour. And right now we're going to bring in Courtney Cronin, who is brought to us by Wintrust, Chicago's bank. And Courtney, on my way in today, I heard you on the network. You're doing double duty. And you mentioned it was 9 below. And as soon as you said that, my car went to 10 below. And I don't know what it is now because we're inside the studio here at 190 North State. But Jesse Rogers wants you on the sideline for like 5 hours tomorrow. I don't know what you did to Jesse. And yeah,
come on, TV's calling, Courtney.
You know, it's funny because the network, when I was in Minnesota, they would put me outside, I think purposefully, because they wanted to inflict pain on me. But they also love to see like the steam coming out of your mouth when you're talking and just trying to, you know, truly live up to the elements and how miserable it is to be out there. But no, I'm going to go from my garage here in River North to the garage at Soldier Field, run up through the United Club, go up to the press box, and try to stay out of the cold for as long as I can tomorrow.
Which, in all honesty, Brian and I would be doing the same thing if we had to cover the game. So
aren't you glad you cover a sport, Jesse, that stops in November? Like,
yes,
you don't have to deal with this stuff.
Well, those
April games at Wrigley, though, are no fun.
When
back
in a former life as a sports writer at the Sun-Times for 26 years, I looked at the list of the coldest games at Soldier Field, and I'd been to three of them, mm-hmm. but in the press box. So you did make a case on the network that this could be a trap game, and I see some of a lot of the people who cover the Bears on a daily basis have them within a touchdown. Where the line is 8.5, the game time temperature might be 8, might actually lower than the line. But can you make a case that they at the minimum hang with the Bills?
I think you can make a case that they can keep this one close the way that they did against Philadelphia last week defensively. You know, especially in the secondary, that was probably their best performance that they had. And the takeaways finally came alive. Like, that's something they had been missing in previous weeks. And I think it's a really good sign to see that sort of stuff on the stat sheet. Because, you know, you look at this group, they spent so many resources in the draft to be able to shore up a secondary that really struggled last year. I think it was 27 of their 31 passing touchdowns allowed. A cornerback was the nearest defender. And, you know, Kyler Gordon has had some ups and downs this season, but for him to kind of right the ship on his rookie campaign and come away with a pick last week, and obviously Jaquan Brisker has become a staple in this defense. Like, you know that things are going in the right direction, at least with the picks that you made in the secondary. And for this secondary to hold up, honestly, you go back to the Green Bay game and how well they played in the first half, and then you have the Philly sample size on top of that without a pass rush that to help them. I think that gives you some hope that against this Buffalo team, you're going to see a similar sort of impact from the back end of the Bears defense. Now, weather's going to dictate what this one looks like. We may not see, and really nothing to do with the cold, I think it's the wind. You may not see the ball being thrown a whole bunch if the wind factor is as much as we expect it to be. I'd be curious from Tracy Butler how much she thinks that that's going to affect things at kickoff, because, I mean, it's going to be cold, but if that wind ends up hindering the passing game, the Bears might have the edge there, because in terms of the running game, because Justin Fields and where he is right now as far as running quarterback, 1,000 yards on the season, like, he and Josh Allen can go toe-to-toe, but I think the Bears have the better backfield, and now that you have Khalil Herbert in there, that's going to change things and make them more dynamic, where they might be able to keep this thing close against a team that's trying to lock up the AFC East this weekend.
Yeah, I agree with everything you just said there, especially when you consider the wind and the fact that the Bears don't have a passing game in perfect condition. So why not let it be windy and bring the Bills' passing game down to their level? And what I'm getting at is that wide receiver room. You've covered the NFL for a while now, Courtney. Have you ever seen just a crazier wide receiver room between injuries and underperformance? Now Claypool's doubtful. It's just sort of a lost season at that position.
Yeah, and I don't think they ever were set up to have a great season from this mishmash group of receivers that they kind of pieced together, where guys are on short-term deals. You have Equanimeous St. Brown, who came in here on a prove-it year. Byron Pringle came here on a prove-it year. And There have been moments where they've done that, but those moments are few and far between. And again, Justin Fields is going to have a very limited group there, which I think is just unfortunate considering what we saw last week, how the passing game looked when he was down four of his top six receivers. And when it's that thin of a group to begin with, it's going to be tough. And I think the Chase Claypool one's interesting because I almost think you could tell some of Matt Eberflus's frustrations with just how that thing is played out, with how he spoke of Chase Claypool yesterday and not being able to get a real read on him because you can't evaluate a guy that isn't playing. And it's not like he tried to get hurt, you know, with his knee against Green Bay. It's just an unfortunate set of circumstances that it's played out this way where he hasn't been on the field the past two games. And, for the status that he has for tomorrow in being doubtful, we don't expect to see him out there with that knee injury. It just feels like you're kind of kicking the can over on this one to 2023, really hoping that that thing pans out where you know that you're going to have Darnell Mooney and Chase Claypool as impact guys for Justin Fields, but then who else? Like, that's the problem. I think the only thing they come away with, which they already knew, is that this receiving core is nowhere near where it needs to be. Like, you can't win with a receiving core like this against good teams. Fortunately, they didn't have to do that this year. They don't have to win. They weren't set up to. But next year and the years beyond that, when you're trying to, it can't look like this.
Courtney Cronin, brought to us by Wintrust Chicago's Bank, joining us here on Cap and Jay Hood. It's Jesse and Brian till top of the hour. And Courtney, beyond the receiving group, which you just really, dug into, rightfully so, you're going to have the eighth iteration of an offensive line because now Tevin Jenkins has that neck injury and Cody Whitehair is out. And we were talking earlier, Braxton Jones has done a great job on the left side, but can you upgrade there? I mean, if you're Ryan Poles, and a guy who's drafted in the fifth round is really done a remarkable job being thrown into that thing, I still think you need to upgrade at left tackle now that you seemingly have the franchise quarterback. What do you think?
Well, don't tell Jesse that.
He took the other side of that.
No, I want Courtney's opinion. I trust hers, not yours.
Of course you do.
Like, I think you can upgrade a lot of different places. Like, the thing with Braxton Jones is he's played above expectation this year. And I think anybody with the Bears would be comfortable saying that because no matter how good your scouting is, to expect a fifth-round FCS guy to come in and be an immediate impact player, like, that's great. Like, the fact that that one worked out is of high importance and shows that the Bears can get it right. And I do think that if you have a chance, no matter what, like, this is a position where you can never have enough talent up front because, as you see, like you mentioned, Hanley, like, with the eighth iteration of this line this weekend because of the injuries to Tevin Jenkins and to Cody Whitehair, who are both, doubtful to play, like, we're going to see more guys in there. So maybe we do see Alex Leatherwood at left guard. And if that ends up being a better fit for him than playing right tackle, maybe that's one that they don't end up touching for next year.
Well, they better find something for him, given
given how much his contract is and the guarantees they picked up. And news, like, just moments ago, the Packers gave Elkton Jenkins a four-year, $68 million contract extension. So, there's another pending free agent who's not going to be a free agent next year at guard, and you just reset the market at that position. That's what it's going to take. You're going to have to pay to get those premium interior offensive linemen in, and I think it's a reasonable investment because those are the spots, more than the tackle spots this year, that need to be beefed up. And I think center is the obvious one where you start, and then you go out from there because Tevin Jenkins has been a nice addition at guard, and that one has worked out. But what about Cody Whitehair? How much longer is he planning to play? I know he's been here since 2016. You know, hopefully this knee injury isn't serious enough to keep him out, an extended period of time. But you got to wonder how they're going to bring in more guys to create more competition. Is it going to come via the draft? Because you can do that, but you also have some pretty high draft picks that you might be wanting to spend on edge rushers because there are so many talented defensive linemen on the outside. Whether they're 3-4 outside linebackers, so someone like a Will Anderson who can pretty much play in any scheme, or you have, true edge rushers at the defensive end position, like, you can find so many of those guys in the draft. So this is going to dictate their priorities of what they do in free agency before that based on how they'll end up trying to strategize for the draft. But again, you can You can expect them to make upgrades on the offensive line. They need to, because there have been so many issues in pass protection this year that have just come because there's a talent deficiency in some of those spots up front.
No doubt. Before we let you go, Courtney, I want to get back to the weather. My internet's been down the last 24 hours. That's my excuse for not being completely prepared for the show. And I don't have your resume in front of me, but you were up there when Minnesota had to play outside, right?
Yes.
Okay.
The playoff game that happened at TCF, the one where it was minus six, that was before I got there. They had just moved into U.S. Bank by the time I had rolled around.
Okay. But my point being is, okay, we know wind affects things, but when you get down to zero, it does affect the paw. I mean, throwing.
Of course.
And
I mean,
kicking.
The thing's like a rock.
Yeah. So, I mean, what do you usually see? Just lame ducks a lot of times? What is it when it gets down to zero, in your opinion?
You know, I think the football's going to be, that thing's going to be frozen. And Richard Hightower, the Bears special teams coordinator, talked about how they, you know, prepare for things like this, because my first thought is the kicking game. Like, you're kicking a frozen football, that thing's going to have a different trajectory and it's going to feel different coming off your foot if you're Cairo Santos, and we know he's been struggling as of late, especially on extra points. So I'm curious. That's the one thing I'll be really honed in on tomorrow, to make sure, is there a change there? Are they altering how he kicks the ball? Is he altering how he kicks the ball? That's one thing. I think, honestly, other than that, guys don't want to get, I mean, this is a physical, violent game, but, like, gosh, it hurts to get hit. And that that turf, that grass at Soldier Field is like cement to begin with. When it gets those temperatures, that's gonna be tough. And you hope that you don't see a lot of injuries coming off of just guys getting tackled because of how hard the playing surface is.
Kudos to Khalil Herbert. Like, I'd be like, yeah, I need one more week, and he said he's gonna be in there.
Yeah, I've seen the Weather Channel. I'm good for another week.
Yeah, I'll come back in Detroit when they play indoors.
And Courtney, exactly. You can take a page out of the John Madden book, where he would always want the window open in the broadcast booth. Oof. And he broke a window because it wouldn't open. And he just took a chair and threw it through. You know, so if you want to really let the elements into the press box and make a lot of friends around you, just go ahead and do that.
Oh no, I think I'm good on that. The walk from the press box down to the locker room, which you know so well, like, make sure, I've told Buffalo people, make sure you have your coat. It is not warm, and it is a long walk, and you will freeze on your way out there, because it is the bowels of Soldier Field are awful.
Well, I saw Cairo Santos said he was, you know, thought about two pairs of socks, but he said his kicking shoe is tight already, so he's not going to do that. Charlie Bevins told me the studio was going to be really cold this morning, so I wore two pairs of socks.
That was a smart veteran move. Yeah. Absolutely veteran move.
Courtney, appreciate it as always. Enjoy your sideline 5 hours tomorrow. Jesse's calling Bristol to make sure that it happens. So,
thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Happy holidays.
Take care, Courtney.
You too.
Yeah.
So funny. I mean, Brian, dome or no dome? What's your answer?
Oh, I've completely gone soft on that. I used to be absolutely no dome guy. Bring a retractable roof. It would be my thing. And if they're going to cut costs there and not do that because it's more expensive, shame on them. Because,
well, I agree, retractable. But I am kind of looking forward to tomorrow, because it's just kind of funny. You know, I mean, I hope nobody gets hurt, but I mean, it's just kind of funny. Hey, who can survive the elements?
That stadium in Minneapolis, I haven't been there, but everyone who has tells me it's if not the best, it's one of. And so hopefully George McCaskey's been up there taking notes. They got a lot of natural light coming in from the glass at the one end of the field. There are ways you can make it so it's not a crypt. I remember the first time I went to the Astrodome, I mean, spend 5-6 hours there, you know, covering a game, and come out in the blazing sunshine at 5 o'clock, and you feel like you've been in a crypt for you know, like you've been dead for 5 hours. And the team I covered was, actually.
Minnesota has some good stadiums. The baseball stadium, from what I hear, is great. It's the only one I haven't been to.
Yeah, I haven't been to Target Field either.
Target Field is the only one I have never been to, but people say great things about that.
And the hockey arena, I was there when it first opened. It was. I remember they had fresh walleye or something. They right out one of the 10,000 lakes they're cooking up.
Yeah, so they do a good job up there. I'd love to see the football and baseball stadium. I haven't done that.
Yeah, I mean, look, they can do it in Minneapolis, St. Paul. We can certainly do it in Arlington Heights. we come back. It's going to be Friday folder time, and we have time to take your calls. 312-332-3776. Cap and J-Hood, ESPN 1000.
Cap and J-Hood mornings on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. Jonathan Hood. Welcome, fans. This is Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the new ESPN Chicago app.
because it's Friday.
It's time for the Friday Folder.
And you ain't got shit to do.
On the Cap and Jay Hood Show.
Guys are off today. Jesse Rogers, Brian Hanley here until top of the hour. Charlie Bevins, our most valuable player, the man who slept here last night. That's dedication. The weather reports made him think that the public transportation wasn't going to be that well run today, and he wanted to make sure he was here on time and very early, and that's dedication. So hopefully Danny Zetterman takes note and gives him a little bit more of the green in the pay envelope this week. Well, like, you know, again, it's radio. I've been in it too long to know that's the case, but a sincere thank you, Charlie, for sleeping on beanbag chairs to make sure the show was ready to go this morning.
But oh, it's time chairs.
Yeah, it's time for, yeah, sure it is. Friday Folder. Charlie, what we got today?
All right, how about this? Daniel Snyder has already received offers well north of $7 billion for the Commanders. $7 billion with a B. I mean, the Suns just went for $4 billion. And that's an NBA team. So I guess it's not super surprising, but the cost of these teams is pretty outrageous.
Yeah, I think what's interesting is in the last, I don't know, 5 to 10 years, we have, I'm going to use the word developed, we've developed more billionaires in this country than we've ever had. There is plenty of money to be spent on these teams because they have it to spend on these teams. So I'm not shocked by that $7 billion. I'm not. There's no number that will shock me. There's a lot of people all of a sudden that have a lot of money these days. I don't know how they got it, but they do. And there's going to be competition for these teams when they become available.
Well, and look, the Chicago Bears, Forbes had them at $5.8 billion, six of all sports franchises back in March of this year. And they don't even own the stadium, right? Now, they're mm-hmm. Once they get that thing up and running,
closer to $10
billion. Oh, yeah, right? I mean, think about that.
Part of it, if you do buy Washington, you're probably going to have to build a new stadium.
Right, that FedEx has been around a while now, right?
Yeah, and it's honest, it might be worse than Soldier Field. Like, it at least Soldier Field is, like, structurally sound.
Yeah.
I think you can't really say the same about FedEx.
And look, we've seen the Cubs were purchased for $890 million, how many years ago? And they're well north of $4 billion, I would say. I'd have to look there. I'm sure they're on the list here.
Past three. I don't know if it's four, but yes.
Oh, yeah. But think about it. If they actually went on the market, what do you think? I mean, what they say the valuation is, and once you get two billionaires bidding on it, I mean, who knows? It could be $8, $9, $10 billion.
And that's kind of what I'm saying. Like, in the old days, there'd be a couple people that could bid on it, that, you know, whatever. Now it's like billionaires down the street from you, you know, that can bid on it. There's many more that can do this sort of thing.
Well, I remember, so when the Cubs were up for sale and Sam Zell was selling and Mark Cuban was in the mix, and I was covering the Bulls, we were down in Dallas, and again, he was available before the game because he's Mark Cuban. Didn't have to go ask, you know, he was just standing there, sitting there, so he went up and talked to him. And he was talking about, similar to now with the interest rates on everything, credit cards going through the roof because they're trying to get inflation under breath. He said, he told Sam Zell, you know, he would need help in financing. You know, Sam Zell would have to share the pain of the interest cost to borrow the money. And Tom Ricketts just borrowed it from Dad, so he didn't have the same interest. But Mark Cuban bowed out because the financing became so onerous. And now the Cubs, you know, what a smart investment. Tom Ricketts told his dad, it's, you know, they sell out whether they win or lose. And these years in a World Series later, it's worth, who knows, $7, $8, $10 billion. Who knows?
All right, so there was, I don't know if you guys saw this, but there was at the Patriots-Raiders game, obviously, where Chandler Jones had that ridiculous play at the end, there's a video of these two Raiders fans, like, yelling and screaming and getting right in the face of this Patriots fan.
Oh.
The Patriots fan just stands there stoically and doesn't respond at all.
It's a woman screaming at him.
He doesn't do anything. So Robert Kraft saw that video and invited this man, Jerry Edmund, As a guest to the games, he'll also be on the field during pregame warmups. A nice little gesture by Robert Kraft there to,
well,
to
let, Brian,
praise
let's
how
set,
stoic that guy was.
Let's set this up tomorrow. You pretend to be a Bills fan, scream in my face, and then next week I can get on the field or something.
Did you see the? Well, you don't have the internet. Yeah. You haven't seen anything.
No, I did see it. I did see it. Yeah, I mean, what are you doing?
This is working by candlelight right now.
But I mean, usually it's some, you know, overserved guy who's, you know, testosterone's. This woman, she seems very pleasant. Boy, whoever she goes home to at night, God bless you. I mean, that, and she's, you know, waving her hands in his face, and you're right. In this day and age, when people would snap, he just stood there calmly, and whoever's with him is like got a hand on his shoulder, like, you know, he was unbelievable.
He's a statue.
Yeah.
I know. Folks, it's a sporting event, honey.
Oh, good Lord.
Jeez, I shouldn't say that. To hit the dump button on that note. it's a sporting event. Like, man, woman, whatever. Just, like, show some class. It's
I think she's a woman. But, boy, she was. What a pleasant person. And, you know, it's like one of those people when you see him on planes. When you see him coming down the aisle, you're like, please don't sit next to me. Please don't sit next to me. Oh, thank God. You know, five rows behind. But yeah, if you get stuck and you're there and you can't go, I mean, your seat is your seat. Yeah, but God bless. I mean, he gets to overinflate the footballs too. I think that's part of the package as a guest of Kraft.
Twitter is now showing everyone how many views your tweets get. So Elon always ends up in worst weekends for us, and Twitter always ends up in the Friday folder. So this feels a little like cheating, but basically your view count is public on your tweets, which can either be very disheartening when you see a lot of people who saw it and didn't like it, or it can be some other alternative.
How about this? It's nothing. It's neither. It's meaningless in anyone's life. Likes, comments, retweets. It means views. It means nothing. I that's a little pet peeve. I mean, I'm in the business. I get attacked on. Who cares? It's not real life. Anything that's said to me on Twitter does not affect me.
You know, I like Twitter, and I'm so late to the game. I mean, Mike Thomas when he was nice enough to ask me to join ESPN 1000. He said, hey, I noticed you're not on Twitter. I'm like, yeah. He goes, you know, I think you really should look at that. You should probably be on Twitter. I'm like, yeah, no, I've gotten this far. I really don't need it. He goes, no, it's really not a suggestion. And so I'm on Twitter.
I'm on Twitter mostly for work as
yeah,
well.
But I mean,
it's just meaningless.
But I couldn't tell you. God bless. I love interacting with people I know and people I don't know. And sometimes I'm very active on it, and I can go 4 or 5 days with barely looking at it, but I couldn't tell you how many people I follow or follow me or comments, and I'm with you, Jess.
Me neither. I'm not, none of that. In fact, I argue with Paul Sullivan, who takes it a little bit more seriously with the blocking. I've never blocked. I wouldn't know how to block someone.
I'm with you.
I don't want to block someone. I don't care to block someone.
I don't know if I've been blocked. I don't, you know.
Right, block me. Don't block me. I retweet my stories, some breaking news, and then go about my business.
Yeah, and what's your Twitter handle so people can block you or not block you or what?
At Jesse Rogers ESPN. Please follow me. Please, please, please. And view my stuff now that we know how many views. Please.
And I'm at Brian
my
Hanley.
My life depends on it.
Brian Hanley 534. Charlie Bevins, what's your Twitter handle?
I'm at CRBevins11.
Okay.
One of my journalism pet peeves, Brian, is when there's a story written on one of these terrible websites that just is, you know, reaction to so-and-so, Taylor Swift's ticket thing. And the reaction is just Twitter comments. That is not a story. That Twitter comments, you cannot turn Twitter comments into a story. You need to do some actual journalism. You want to call that person that made a Twitter comment and interview them? I can live with that. Twitter comments is not a story because it doesn't really get to the heart of an issue.
You might have
just taking some random people.
You might have a better chance of getting hold of Taylor Swift calling her than AK or Mark Eversley. That's just
as we bring this full circle.
Yeah.
That's a pet peeve of mine.
I know. I hear you. All right, I'm going to make a story out of that today. We'll be back on ESPN 1000 in just a couple. Thanks for staying with us.
This is Cap and Jay Hood
on ESPN 1000. Cap, Jay Hood.
Follow on Instagram at Cap Jay Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Time now for the Cap and Jay Hood Cut of the Day, brought to us by Chicago Cut.
Yo.
Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Oh!
Whatever.
Cut it.
It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right, cut!
Well, we'll come back, take your calls, 312-332-3776. You're heading out to the game tomorrow. Tell us, you know, what preparations. I see some people say tailgating goes on no matter. And, you know, maybe just double down on the chili or whatever, or the booze, whatever you're doing.
Stick your hand in the grill or something. I don't know.
Yo. Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Oh!
Whatever.
Cut it.
It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right, cut! Jesse wasn't being literal with the actually sticking the hand in the grill. But watch where you're sticking the hand or the hand warmers. You know, you can't put those hand warmers just anywhere.
You know, people that hate me on Twitter, okay, will say, Jesse, I hate you, right? I don't like you, right? Some people will ask me, doesn't that bother you? And I just told you last segment it doesn't. Tell me if this analogy fits. If you are walking down the street and someone passed you and said, I hate you, I don't like you, it'd be obviously weird because there's no context to it or whatever. But it, would that stick with you the rest of the day? You'd think, oh, that guy's kind of crazy or not. That's what I think of people. You know, it's the same thing.
If the guy shoved me onto the blue line tracks without, you know, knowing me, I'd have an issue.
Right.
But that goes on in Chicago.
I don't know this person. They're not friends. They're not family. If my wife says I hate you, I react to that. Yeah. If someone on Twitter says I hate you, I don't. Now, if someone says your opinion is trash, here's why, well, that's fun. That's part of the debate.
Right.
I have
absolutely
no problem debating people on Twitter, and that's the good part of Twitter. You can do your own talk show on Twitter. So I just wanted to finish that.
Well,
don't let it bother you people.
Well, it's going to bother me if you're buying me a Christmas gift and you're going to tell me what it is right now. But Charlie was asking what's the best Christmas or holiday gift you got as a sports gift. And we were talking earlier, you're still waiting on overnight delivery of things or whatever. You should go get out to the mall. Charlie, what's your favorite holiday Christmas gift?
Yeah, so I got a sports-wise. I got a Papa Shot when I was like 5, and just hours on end just playing that. That was easily the best one. I've gotten some, like I got a Khalil Mack jersey one year. Obviously that isn't super useful anymore.
Yeah, right.
But I would say the Papa Shot. That was a really good one. For my birthday one time, we all got an air hockey table, too, which was nice.
Yeah, we always had fun with that. I don't remember how long it lasted. We didn't get the really heavy-duty one. We got kind of the one that, you know, can fall apart
easily. It ended up being mostly a table used to fold laundry on.
That's usually it. How about you, Jess?
The best holiday gift I got sports-wise? Yeah, I mean, it's cliche, but I mean, I loved baseball. I mean, it was a glove. It was a glove that I oiled up, put under my pillow for 3 months.
What was the Wilson A2000?
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember
so bad
the top
like
of the
that
line.
Yeah.
I always wanted one, but my mom and dad had 9 kids.
I definitely didn't get top of the line.
Yeah.
I definitely get in top of the line. So, but a new glove that was, I mean, under the pillow for months on end until it was right broken in. So that would be it for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
I actually, being a huge baseball fan growing up, I mean, like, crazy over the Cubs and the 69 Cubs scarred a 9-year-old boy to this day. I should be in therapy over that. I bought myself 1 share of Cubs stock back in the day. And I still have the when they sold the team to the Tribune, and they sold it for way less than it was worth. They sold it for like $21 million because William Wrigley had double estate taxes because his parents unfortunately died within like 6 months of each other.
Mm-hmm.
So he needed the cash, and he wasn't liquid, so he had to sell the team. And we went to the shareholders meeting, and Cubs being the Cubs, you know, Wrigley owned like 86% of the stock, and then there, Gene Siskel was sitting right behind me. He had a share or two of stock and some people, and they had a voice vote, and none of us wanted to sell. We weren't in it for the money. We were in it to say we owned part of the Cubs, right?
Right, right.
And so his 86% got drowned out in the voice vote, and the nays had it, and immediately the lawyers are you know, having a huddle and trying to pass out ballots, trying to, you know, change the vote. And some guy in the back of the room said, I'll sue you in court. You know, we just had a legal vote, and you screwed that up. I'm thinking, no wonder they couldn't make a trade. They couldn't even rubber stamp a sale. But the hot dogs at the Holiday Inn down here were, you know, they had the ballpark food at the stockholders meeting.
You are endless, you know, man filled with stories.
I still have the certificate of stock. They allowed us to keep that, and it has a nice etching of Wrigley Field on there. And really, at what point does Tom Ricketts monetize the naming rights to Wrigley Field? Wrigley Field at, you know, Heinz, whatever, at, you know.
Yeah, well, Tom might be resistant, but Crane Kenny won't be.
Oh, no. No. Especially if he's got a bonus tied
in. You see that Winter Wonderland they got going over there?
Yeah.
God, it's a dollar for every blade of grass you step on, I think.
Yeah, tried the Dansby Swanson ice rink.
Someone has to pay for it.
All right, thanks for joining us today on Cap and Jay Hood. Jess, I hope your internet gets working there. I hope you're not on hold for 4 hours.
I'll stare at my kids.
Yeah, boy, if the DirecTV isn't up and running soon, we're going to have a a wellness check at the Rogers household.
I'll see you, Brian. Good job.
All right, take care. Charlie Bevins, you're the man. Staying all night to make sure we're on the air today. I mean, that's dedication. So thank you. Thanks for listening. You got ESPN 1000.
Oh, from Chicago.